What does it mean to be in the kingdom of God? What does it mean to follow the Lord? What does it mean to believe what the scriptures tell us? What does it mean, and how should it, Nancy was saying, how should it affect our lives? What does that life look like? A life in the kingdom of God is not just, as I've said before, it's not just a moral life. This is not just about which religion has the best morals. This is not just about which religion helps me live the wisest life or something like that. This is about the miraculous. The kingdom of God is about the miraculous. Everybody knows, whether you know it or not, you do, you know at least some of the Sermon on the Mount. This is the largest teaching section in the book of Matthew. It starts at Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and so forth. This wonderful teaching. But the kingdom of God is more than wonderful teachings. Before the Sermon on the Mount, it says this, Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. Yeshua is going throughout all the Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those tormented by various diseases and affliction, those plagued by demons, the epileptics, the paralyzed, and he healed them. And large crowds followed him from the Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. They followed him. They came to him. They were drawn to him. Because, yes, he had the word of life and he had the teachings, but also he had the fullness of the kingdom of God, that healing, that restoration, that freedom. And some of us are still bound up. We need to learn to let that go and to live in the fullness and the freedom and the healing and the joy and the miraculous of the kingdom of God. The miraculous of the kingdom of God. Does it mean God's going to do everything we say? We're going to talk about that later. Of course, the answer is no. He doesn't. We don't boss God around. But there is something miraculous about his kingdom. It's not just, oh, we've got the best teaching, we've got the best theology. It's living in the supernatural. It's God on earth, God within us. And we see that in today's Torah portion, the miraculous. And like has been talked about earlier in today's service, the budding of Aaron's staff. Okay, so the Torah portion starts out with Korach and some other dissidents rising up against Moses and Aaron and saying, you're taking too much on yourselves. All of us are holy and all of us, you're no better than us, basically, is what they're saying. But the Lord judges them, and the Lord shows miraculously who he has chosen to be his. So number 17, verses 1 through 8, Adonai said to Moses, saying, speak to Bnei Yisrael, the children of Israel, and get a rod from each ancestral home, 12 staffs in all, from each prince according to his ancestral household, write each man's name on his staff, write Aaron's name on Levi's staff, because of course Aaron was from the tribe of Levi, or else he couldn't be a priest. For there is to be one staff for the prince of each tribe. Then you are to place them in the tent of meeting before the testimony where I meet with you. It will come about that the staff of the man I choose will sprout. I will then rid myself of the grumblings of Bnei Yisrael who are grumbling against me. So Moses spoke to Bnei Yisrael. Each of their princes gave him a staff, one staff for each prince according to their ancestral houses, 12 staffs in all, and Aaron's staff was among them. Moses placed the staffs before Adonai in the tent of meeting. The next day, Moses entered the tent of testimony, and behold, the staff of Aaron from the house of Levi had sprouted, blossomed, and produced almonds. This is the man I've chosen for this job. This is the leader. This is the high priest. I'm going to do something miraculous And from this dead piece of wood, I'm going to make blossoms and almonds come forth from a dead piece of wood. And that is the kingdom of heaven, right? That which is dead miraculously produces life because we are in the presence of the Lord. How do we know we're in the presence of the Lord? Look, I've had people that have their theology down pat. They just have it down. And they have their verses memorized and everything, but I didn't see any life there. Okay? Not that I'm the judge of who's saved or who's not saved, but there's something about it that did not fit in with the norms of the kingdom of God. For all their knowledge, there was no life from the dead in them, right? And there are other people new in the faith that don't quite understand this, don't quite understand that, a little off here, a little off there, but the Spirit of God was alive and active in their lives, okay? I'm not saying that getting theology right doesn't mean anything. We need to get our theology right, okay? As right as we can. We're always going to have little things the Lord needs to work on us on. But the main thing is this. In the kingdom of God, there is life from the dead. In the kingdom of God, there is meeting with God himself, and that produces life. It has to. You can't meet with God. You can't be in the presence of the Lord and have it not produce life on the inside. If you are dead on the inside, you are not meeting with the Lord your God. You can say you believe every word of the Bible, but if you are not meeting with the Lord of the Bible, if you're not meeting with God, then there's no life. And that is not the kingdom of heaven. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You need the life of the kingdom of God. You need the miraculous. That's what it means to be in the kingdom of God, is you are in the kingdom of God. Okay? It's not an intellectual thing. This is meeting with God. And so what inhibits, what keeps us from experiencing the miraculous? One thing that keeps us from experiencing the miraculous of the kingdom of God is that it doesn't start with hearing the voice of the Lord. It starts with our own ideas. Okay, it starts with our own ideas. Notice that in today's Torah portion, this idea of bringing the staffs before the Lord came from God. God said to Moses, tell them to each bring a staff instead of, they didn't just say, hey, I've got an idea, let's roll some dice, and if it ends up on a 3 and a 2, that means Aaron's the guy, or a 4 and a 1, it means, no, they didn't come up with their own idea. It started with hearing the voice of the Lord. The miraculous begins with hearing the voice of the Lord. I watched something a little concerning yesterday. Have you heard about these snake handlers in Appalachia? Have you? Okay. They feel like it is their calling from the Lord to handle poisonous snakes, rattlesnakes. And I watched some video. Some people have gone out there and done little news stories on these people, and they grab the rattlesnake and they're dancing with the rattlesnake, sometimes two rattlesnakes. They're dancing around with the snakes, and for them that is a sign of following the Lord. Some of them have died. A couple pastors have died. Besides the fact that it's illegal, it also just seems kind of dumb. But anyway, they do it. One guy, a pastor, dances with rattlesnakes in his hands while he's worshiping the Lord, dances with these rattlesnakes, got bit on his middle finger. And I guess he survived it, and he was out in the doing gardening or something the next day, and, you know, part of his finger fell off. And the news reporter's like, why do you still have that finger there? And he was like, well, it's just half his finger. It's kind of blackened and it was terrible. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have described it. But why do you keep this around? The reporter wanted to know. He's like, well, my wife said, because if I ever die, she'll still have a piece of me. Like it was romantic or something. I don't know. But anyway, it's terrible. But what is going on here. They feel like they are following the word. Mark chapter 16 is where they get it from. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will handle snakes. And if they drink anything deadly, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will get well. First of all, if you really dig into this verse, some of your versions may not even have those verses in there. I don't know. If they do, it's a newer translation. It probably puts it in brackets or something. Let you know, this probably was not originally in Mark. This is not in our early Greek manuscripts. This was added in later on. But even so, even if it was originally in Mark, the reporter wanted to know, does this mean you have to handle snakes? Is that what it's saying? That's what we feel the Lord is calling us to. Look, this is starting from man. This is not the voice of the Lord saying, go out there and dance around with rattlesnakes. That's not the voice of the Lord. And unfortunately, though, we do the same thing. Maybe not in such a odd way, but we do the same thing when we say, I'm doing this or that in the name of the Lord, or we pray this or that in the name of the Lord, and it started from us rather than starting from God, right? Are we taking the time to hear the voice of the Lord and then moving in that direction or praying in that direction? You know, sometimes when we are praying at our prayer meetings on Monday nights, the Spirit of God just takes over and we are just praying according to the Spirit. These prayers start not from us but from above, and then the miraculous happens. I don't care how much faith you think you have, and you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray for something. Meanwhile, you haven't taken the time to quiet yourself and say, what is the Lord really speaking here? Okay? Maybe, you know, Paul, like I mentioned last week, Paul prayed 3 times for the affliction to be taken away. The Lord answered him, my grace is sufficient for you. Okay, Paul heard from the Lord. Okay, for some reason the Lord does not want to heal me of this, but he's going to give me grace to get through it anyway. Sometimes that's the miraculous. And sometimes the supernatural healing, which we have seen and I want to see more of, sometimes that is the miraculous. But whatever the miraculous is, it's got to start with the voice of the Lord and not with our own selves conjuring up the idea of we know what God wants. Meanwhile, we haven't quieted ourselves before him to really find out. Get into the presence of the Lord. You want to be in the kingdom of God. You want to see the miraculous. I want to see the miraculous. We have to quiet ourselves. Get from the Lord the direction he wants and his will and the way he's going to work. And then we move following him rather than leading him, and then we will see the miraculous. Some of us haven't seen the miraculous because we have dug our heels in. God, this is what I want. I'm not going to be happy till you give me this. God, I'm angry because you haven't done that. Instead of that, we have to quiet ourselves. Lord, what are you speaking into my life? What are you? And then I promise you, you follow that, you will see the miraculous. It may not be what you want, but it'll be the miraculous. Our life in the kingdom of heaven is the miraculous. Ephesians 1:13. After you heard the message of truth, the good news of your salvation, and when you put your trust in him, you were sealed with the promised Ruach HaKodesh. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of the living God. How can the miraculous not happen if you have the Holy Spirit of God within you and upon your life? The miraculous has to have. That's our foundation is not in what we know up here. Our foundation is in the fact that the Spirit of God has been given to us. And what are the gifts of the Spirit according to 1 Corinthians 12? Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues. Okay, these are what mark the people of God and what we need to move in, right? But don't conjure it up, okay? Be in the presence of God and let it happen, okay? We've all seen probably where people conjure it up. You know, you've got to You gotta speak in tongues. You gotta do this. You gotta do that. Don't do that. Be in the presence of God and let Him lead. Let Him lead the miraculous. All right, so that's the first thing we have to do. To see the miraculous, we have got to hear the voice of the Lord. And the second thing we have to do is when we hear the voice of the Lord, we have to follow. We have to follow. Sometimes, some of us, the Lord tells us the same things over and over, all the time. And why is He having to tell us the same things? Because we didn't listen last time. We didn't listen the time before that. The Lord's got to tell you the same thing over and over. Okay? And sometimes some of that's good. Sometimes it needs to sink in at a deeper level. You are forgiven, right? You are forgiven. That sin is gone, okay? And sometimes we have to hear that over and over to get that on a deeper level. I do love you. You think you're not lovable, you're not loved. I do. I love you. I love you. I love you. And every time we hear it, it's a deeper level, right? And those are wonderful things. But sometimes He has to tell us over and over again because we just keep missing it, right? You need to be in services. Well, okay, but today I'm tired. You need to be in services. And it's the same thing. You need to be in prayer. Why are you not praying? Why are you not praying? Why? And the reason we don't follow through is because we rationalize it away. Let me read a little bit to you from the book of Acts, Acts 27, verse 9 through 11. Paul has been arrested, okay, in Jerusalem, and he's being sailed back to Rome because as a Roman citizen, he appealed to Caesar, okay? I appeal to Caesar. He's on a ship. They're taking him to Rome. Things aren't going well. Paul gives forth a prophecy. Acts 27, 9 through 11. Since considerable time had passed and the voyage was already dangerous because the fast had already gone by, okay, so it was after Yom Kippur, and this was dangerous sailing time, Paul kept warning them, telling them, "Men, I can see that the voyage is about to end in disaster and great loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives." The Lord had mercy later on, and the lives were spared, but it did end in disaster. Okay, that was Paul's prophecy. They heard the voice of the Lord through Paul. But the centurion was persuaded more by the pilot and the captain of the ship than by what was said by Paul. Okay, well, yes. Okay, the Lord wants me to pray, but I really got to do this and that. Otherwise, how am I going to pay my bills? The Lord is calling me to give to somebody in need or to give to the synagogue, but I really just don't have the money. We rationalize away the voice of the Lord because we don't really trust Him as much as we should. We trust the captain of the ship and the pilot of the ship more than we trust the voice of the Lord through Paul. Okay? And so we don't really, we hear the voice of the Lord, but we don't really trust. Does God really know what He's talking about? Basically is what we're saying. You know, and we've all done that. I'm guilty of it myself. The Lord called me to do this or that. Okay. But really, today is just not the day. I want to take time in prayer, Lord, but my family needs me, or this or that, and we think that we can outsmart God. So that's got to end, right? We have to trust the Lord. If the Lord says, do this, we do it. If the Lord says, do that, we just do it. We trust Him. If the Lord says to take time and pray, we take time and pray. Take time and read the Word. Speak the word of life to somebody who needs to hear it. Give to somebody in need. We follow in the miraculous. This is the kingdom of God. But we stifle the voice because maybe, first of all, we're not listening. Or maybe when we do hear it, we rationalize it away. And we cannot be that way. What should we be like? We should be like the disciples. Matthew 4:18 through 22. Now as Yeshua was walking by the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. They were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And He said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, Jacob, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. They were in the boat and with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. They heard the voice. This, by the way, was not the first time that they had met Yeshua. If you look at John chapter 1, we see that they were there with John the Baptist in the during the immersions, and they knew about the Spirit of heaven descending on him. They heard John say, "This is the Lamb of God." They knew him, and they knew that this was the prophetic voice. This was the voice of God saying to them, "Follow me." And they left their nets and followed him. Now notice, he's in the Galilee. Where is the center of learning in Israel? Of course, it's in Jerusalem. You want knowledgeable people. You want people with the head knowledge. You go to Jerusalem. You want people who have the Torah memorized backwards and forward. You go to Jerusalem. But that's not what Yeshua was looking for. He was looking for the people who would hear the prophetic voice and would say, "Yes, I'm going to follow that." And that's what you and I are, right? I don't think there are any of us in here with doctoral degrees from the Yale Divinity School or anything like that. The Lord doesn't care about that. Are you willing to take time to hear his voice and then to leave your nets, if he says leave your nets, and to follow him? This is a heart issue. This is a heart issue. Look, the very foundation of our faith is in the miraculous. It's in the death, the sacrificial atoning death of the Messiah, and in his resurrection. The foundation of our faith, the foundation of the kingdom, is in the miraculous. The sealing, okay, for Aaron it was the budding staff. For us, it's the Holy Spirit within us. These things are miraculous events. The kingdom of God is not the best way to live out a humanly life. The kingdom of God is about the supernatural, that which is above coming in. And we have to listen to it. And we have to get rid of the idea that we have a choice. Okay, it's the miraculous, which would be great and spiritual, and I know it's better, or it's second best, which is ignoring that and using my rationalizations. Look, the centurion in Paul's case followed what was rational instead of the prophetic voice, and the ship ended up being destroyed in a storm, right? It's more like this. Peter and the disciples are in the boat, and there's a great storm. And Yeshua's walking to him on the water. And Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." And Yeshua calls him. He gets out of the boat. He's walking on the water with Yeshua. It's the supernatural. It's not a matter of, well, let me either walk on the water or swim. Life is too hard for that. The waves are too great for that. It's either walk with the Lord on the water supernaturally or sink. It is either walk with the Lord supernaturally or sink. You're going to take time to listen to his voice, and you're going to grow in your ability to be obedient to him, or you will sink. Those are the choices, okay? Maybe those who are outside of the kingdom can kind of get by, but if you call yourself a child of God, you say, "I am a child of God," your choice is to walk on the water supernaturally or to sink. Lord God Almighty, I thank you for choosing us, Lord. I thank you that through Yeshua, our Messiah, we have been chosen to be a part of the kingdom of God. And we don't want to take that in vain by saying we are a part of the kingdom of God and then living like the rest of the world lives and listening to the ship captain and the pilot because they know what they're talking about more than the man of God. We need to follow the voice of the Lord. And so, Lord God, we commit ourselves to that quiet time, to hear you, to make sure the voice is you and not conjured up within ourselves. We want to hear the voice of the Lord. We want to hear the voice of the Lord. And then we want to follow. We want to say, I'm putting my hat in that ring. I'm following the voice of the Lord without fear, in trust. I'm following the voice of the Lord in whatever He tells me to do, because I trust You, Lord. I love You, Lord. You saved me. You sealed me with Your Ruach HaKodesh, Your Holy Spirit. I am Yours. I'm going to live a miraculous life in the kingdom, walking on the water with You, hearing Your voice, following You, seeing the miraculous happen, not the way I command it to happen, but following You in the way You cause it to happen for me because of Your great, great love for me. In Yeshua's name.